Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, which shares stories of spiritual awakenings, spiritual communication, healing energies, miracles, and awareness of soul intuitive guidance. And today I am delighted to have Clayton John Anger, author of The Ego's Code, join us, and he will share the guidance he received to help turn around self-sabotaging thought patterns, which resulted in a total transformation and new life path for him. Hello, Clayton, and thank you for joining us today.
Hi, thank you for having me. It's amazing to be here. And as you said, the connection is amazing. I'm all the way across the pond in the UK, which is fantastic.
It is. Clayton, as listeners of Healing From Within are so well aware, my guests and I share intimate, amazing experiences and insights that help us and others to realize life in its multidimensional aspects, learning more about the universal laws of energy and the personal power we all hold within our heart essence to create and manifest a healthier, happier life journey. It all begins with self-investigation, self-mastery of our emotions, and greater clarity in understanding the balance of our human and divine nature. Clayton, I always love to ask my guests because I get such amazing answers. they really surprise me each time to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, or event that may have alerted them or others to know what life path or destiny was possible in their adult life. It seems that within that child is already a vision or version of the adult. So think back for a minute.
I love that question. I think that's probably one of the best questions I've ever been asked. And I can tell you what the answer is I've always challenged the rules. I've always challenged the status quo. I've never liked rules. And I was always getting in trouble as I was growing up with my mom and my dad as they tried to impose strict rules on me. And I always pushed back and challenged the status quo and wanted an explanation. And I was just told, well, you know, that's just the way that it is, which is quite interesting now as a grown-up, because I then, in my early 20s and 30s, I actually trained and qualified as a tax consultant here in the UK, which is the largest rules-based legislation in the world, and it was incredibly painful. And then, obviously, I left that, and now I challenge people on their own individual rules and helping them to use negativity as a fuel for success, as opposed to keeping them stuck in the past. So that's just a brilliant question that you've asked me. That's amazing.
Well, what I think it is that you had a deep, wise inner soul wisdom, and what you were seeing and hearing from some of the adults didn't satisfy your questioning that there was something bigger and more than the rules. And so you were a bit of a rebel, and I wasn't much different. I remember locking myself in the bathroom one day and refusing to open the door. We only had one bathroom, and I didn't want to come out because I was also annoyed at something that had happened and wanted to show them that I could make my own decision, as little as I was, because I would answer to my own higher self. But of course, at that time, I didn't have the language to express it that way. But that's what you and I were doing. And many people who have come on the show have expressed a similar need to understand things beyond the rules and in a way beyond what it seems logical in the mind, but doesn't appeal to the soul or heart energy. But recently I had a guest on the show who said actually 90% of our thoughts each day are negative. 90%. Yes. But what do we do if they consume you?
Okay, I'm going to tell you exactly that. And there was a research project that was done in 2005 by the National Science Foundation on exactly how many thoughts we experience in a day. And, you know, sticking with this survey, they came out about 60,000 thoughts. And I actually pursue things a lot more than that. And they actually said 80 to 90% of them are negative and the majority of them are repetitive. So, but then people say to me when I talk to them about that, they say, well, you need to be careful about what you're thinking. And part of the challenge of being careful about what you're thinking is neuroscience has proven that we spend about 95% of our time unconscious, which also means that positive thinking doesn't work. So we can find ourselves caught up in a spiral of negativity if we're not careful. I'm going to explain how to use it in a moment. But then quantum physics has also proven that we experience wholeness unconsciously 7.8 times per second, which means that we're always in creation. So we're either creating through our negativity or we're creating consciously through what it is you wish to create. So coming back to your question, how do we deal with it? So negativity is very simple. Negativity is a message from you to you that something is not quite right or how you think it should be. And where it comes from, it's a whisper or it's an echo from the past. So it relates to your past and it all relates to past traumas, so that there is something there for us to learn. But the challenge is every single time we experience negativity, whether it be thoughts, feelings, actions, reactions, behaviors, whatever that negativity is, we're literally being triggered back to the past. So we're reliving the past in the here and the now. And so if you're in the past, you can't be present. And if you're not present, you can't create the future that you wish to create. So there's a four-step process which I've developed, which I talk about in my book, and I'm going to simplify the process for people who are listening. The first piece is, the first step is to become aware. It's all about awareness. Mm-hmm. Awareness creates presence. And this is often, you know, this is where I say to people, just start to pay attention to what's going on and make it very easy for yourself. And when people are working with me one-to-one, I just say, right, okay, when you wake up tomorrow morning, start to notice how you feel when you wake up tomorrow morning. And if you're waking up, you know, joyful and full of bliss, that's an amazing place to be. But if you're waking up sad, frustrated, angry, then effectively what you've done is you've woken up in the past. And if you, and you need to change your energy, you need to change your whole outlook in that moment. And thinking positively isn't enough. You need to really seriously change your energy and how you feel in that moment. Otherwise, you're going to take your past into your whole day, and then you just repeat, 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 repeat. And then I say to people, okay, you need to become aware of how you feel when you go to sleep at night. And if you go to bed falling asleep in your bliss, that's amazing. But if you go to bed, you know, feeling angry or frustrated, then actually what's happening is you're going to fall asleep with your past. And so the awareness that we have creates presence, and it brings you from the past into the here and the now. And that's step one. Step two is then acknowledging and appreciating your negativity. And just one of the biggest challenges in life today is about expressing how we feel. And you know, and I know from my own, from myself, in my own journey as a man, I know with men who I coach and I mentor and I work with in corporate, in the corporate world, sometimes how difficult that can be. And I also know women who find it very difficult to express exactly how they're feeling as well. And so the expression and the acknowledgement of how we feel, what that does, it locks you into the here and the now. But also what actually is also happening neurologically in the body is that when we experience stress or we experience negativity, what happens is we experience high beta brainwaves in the brain, which means that we're in high stress state, which means we actually can't think clearly. And as a result of that, we can't also create from that place. So by breathing and appreciating and expressing, it actually starts to change the brain waves in the brain from high beta to medium beta down to low beta and into alpha, which is peak performance. So we actually, just through that expression, brings us firmly into the now. And then step three is is acting for your highest good. And this is often sometimes the most difficult, because, you know, we have to honor our highest good. We have to make decisions for ourselves. And when we make decisions for ourselves, it actually builds confidence, and it builds competence in who we are as a human being as we go through our life. And, you know, and if someone doesn't like what you say or what you do, then that's their stuff. That's their journey. Mm-hmm. But the worst thing that we can do is to compromise ourselves by lowering our energy and our vibration to do something out of obligation or to please someone. Doesn't mean we can't be of service. That's different. But also what goes with this is that acting with kindness towards ourselves and towards others. And if something's not working out for you, rather than beating yourself up, my wife and I often sort of talk about, well, let's go in our common sense corner and actually have a sensible chat with ourselves as opposed to beating ourselves up. And then step four is acceleration. So how do you accelerate it? And that's through meditation every day, because when you meditate, whether it be for 15 minutes, 20 minutes, or an hour, or longer if you're an advanced meditator, what that does, it actually can permanently change your energy. And when you change your energy, that's when you can really change your life. So, you know, four very quick
steps. We're going to...
One is very important.
Yes, Clayton, we're going to say change your energy, change your thoughts, change your life. So if you listen to the negative thoughts of yourself or others, you're actually limiting yourself from appreciating the beauty, goodness, and potential you have within, and the life you can only create once you recognize, you said, to recognize it, appreciate, and discard the myths and beliefs that society has imposed on your ever-changing soul life. So we need to consider. But I also like the word, I just recorded another show prior to this, and the word kindness came up. And this is a very, very important concept for our listeners. It is important to be kind to yourself, to appreciate the fact that negativity comes in to alert you to what you could and possibly were born to accomplish, and perhaps because you bought into the patterns and lifestyles and expectations of so many other people, you are not being true to your own needs. Now, if we're going to ask what is negativity, as we're simply talking about that, Clayton, you wrote this. In the first instance, negativity is a natural and normal psychological and physical message from your body and mind. A thought, a feeling, an emotion, an action, a behavior, or self-thought, letting you know that something is not quite right, you were just telling us that, or how you believe it should be. But its primary purpose, and now this is important, is to keep you safe. But keeping you safe doesn't mean you shut down to everything else and you stay within the energy of this negativity. It means you just recognize it and realize that it's something you're not going to buy into. Because negativity is energy, like every thought we ever have. Yeah, and we can feel it, we can know it, it has a purpose, but we don't want to reside in that energy for very long. So let's go over.
So one of the biggest challenges that we have in society today, which you touched on, is that we have been conditioned to ignore it, to stuff it down, to sweep it under the carpet. And one of the things I just want your listeners to understand is that if you imagine the energy it takes to put a rocket in space, we hold that same energy in our lower three energy centers. And so by, you know, if we ignore it, then we will just continue to relive our past over and over and over and over again. But the second that we start to acknowledge it and actually express it and give it a voice, and that doesn't mean going and punching somebody in the nose. That's not what I'm talking about. You can really express it, you know, with kindness towards yourself, towards others. This is how I'm feeling. It actually starts to transmute this energy. Negativity, as you said, is just energy. And all energy can be changed and transmuted into something that will serve you and help you to rise up and be a force for good in your life. You know, so it's an old paradigm of thinking that it's bad, that the ego is bad, and all these kinds of things are bad. You know, when we make it bad, we're making something that's natural and normal bad and wrong, and that's, you know, and that's perpetuating the situation and the problem.
Right. Now, you know, I'm an intuitive Reiki energy teacher and medium. And when did you recognize you were utilizing psychic mediumship abilities? And what was your original response to that awareness?
That's a beautiful question. That takes me back to the age of seven. At the age of seven, I used to get visited by spirit. And I didn't understand it. I didn't know what it was about. And it completely freaked me out. And I remember making a conscious decision to shut it down. And I have, even now, I have a little Norman boy spirit that sits outside my room watching over me and keeping me safe. And even at that time, when I chose to shut my gifts down at that point, the age of seven, he still came with me and still followed me. And it was in my 30s when I actually re-engaged with everything. And I used to read privately for family and close friends. And it was when I met my beautiful wife, Lindsay, that she encouraged me to go out into the world and, you know, to share my psychic medium abilities. And I read for people all over the world. But also I use it on my events when I'm working with people in my coaching environments, my mentoring environments, whichever environment I'm in. But I will only use it with others when I have their permission. You know, because sometimes, you know, people, you know, they say, well, no, I don't want to know that. And that's okay. That's part of their journey. So, but if someone wants me to read for them and I have their permission, then we'll have, you know, a full on, very insightful, in depth experience of working together. So, switched on at the age of seven, then I switched it back off again because I didn't know what it was. And then it switched back on again in its 30s. And I know it's always there. But I was consciously starting to use again in my 30s.
Well, you know, I was also aware of energy around me, feeling a sensitivity as a child, and sort of something maybe by the window, you know, because, but my family was a very practical family, based in the materialistic world and not metaphysical studies. So yes. I never had anyone explain any of the things. So as you say, I just try to be like everybody else. But we all have this intuitive connection to energy and to spirit, and we can all download information. But some people
absolutely
choose to do it because they are constantly called to do it, and then they accept the challenge. So how do you learn how to tap into that energy to more fully develop
well,
it?
A lot of it is actually coming back to those four principles that I mentioned earlier around awareness, because everybody in life has the ability to create, and everybody who's listening has it some shape or some time in their life created magic in their life, you know, or a miracle, or something's come out of the unknown and they go, wow, I just can't believe this has happened. And it's those times which we need to be paying attention to, because if we've done it once, we can repeat it. So just coming back to what we were talking about when you were a child, and I was a child, my daughter Isabel, she's 14 on Wednesday, and she used to sit and chat to the wall. And I would say to her, you know, are you okay, honey? And she would say, yeah, I'm just chatting to my angels, daddy. You know, and so she had this level of awareness, and I love you said everybody has this level of awareness
in one way or another. Yes, I used to talk to a little
exactly.
doll. I used to talk to sit by the wall and talk to a little doll, but I didn't know I was actually talking to a guide who was around me. But yeah, it's okay. I got the answers I needed somehow. It came in the
completely
form of music, or someone would answer my question, or I'd turn on the television, and there would be my answer. However it came in, I wasn't, of course, aware of how it worked at that point, nor did I have the language or the pieces of the puzzle that I have put together now. But it's there for many, many children until they shut down. So I want to say, in regard to what you're saying, that everyone is psychic and intuitive and sensitive to energy, they definitely are. But to tap into it, You really have to want to. You have to make a choice. You have to see the benefits of doing it and make a shift in your thinking, perhaps. In my book, The Living Spirit, I wrote, Reiki energy healing sessions have enabled many of my clients to feel their own flow of energy and to become aware of their intuitive natures. A more comprehensive knowledge of individual assets and powerful life force factors is the payoff for this exploration of self. Some people believe that spirituality and self-awareness, a connection to the universe and understanding life and death, are only available to the old and wise, the well-educated, or the affluent seeker and traveler. But in reality, there is no age, race, gender, socioeconomic, or religious requirement necessary to discover who we are and what we want and need for a successful life journey. So there are benefits. There is a payoff for doing the work. And also it brings much joy and better health, better relationships. And you give out much more into the universe and the world around you, the love and beauty and kindness that builds up within you from doing this kind of work. So let's go on.
I would absolutely agree.
Yes, yes.
Carry on.
Yes, let's go on to tell us about the higher self or soul and versus the ego or personality.
Okay, so this is always very controversial for people, certainly in my particular view, so I'll put that up front. So the higher self is our true self. It's omnipresent and it's absolutely everywhere. And what happens is this is, and the ego self is part of that, and I'll explain what I mean. So every person on our planet is experiencing a soul's journey, and part of that journey is that we have, from a human perspective, have certain things that we need to learn, and these learnings come from traumas that we've had in the past. And so when we experience a trauma, it creates a tear in the soul, and part of the soul leaves and goes to a place in consciousness where it feels safe. So that then leaves this void, and into the void goes all the negativity that's associated with that trauma, and it gets sealed off. Then at the point of incarnation, when we begin our soul's journey, the higher self, which is omnipresent and is everywhere, which is split into two. And keeping the numbers clean, 99% of it remains the higher self and is omnipresent and communicates through the heart and experience love and joy and wonder. And the other 1% is the ego self. So the ego and the higher self are actually one and the same thing. So what happens is the ego gets programmed with all the negativity associated with the traumas that we've experienced, and it acts like a beacon, sending out a signal into the quantum field, into the universe, the divine spiritual system, whatever label you want to call it, to attract to you situations and circumstances so that you can learn. So as we learn from our negativity, because the ego communicates through negativity, the higher self communicates through positivity. The ego communicates through the head, the higher self communicates through the heart, but it's not one or the same thing. The head, when the head tries to rule the heart, the ego is trying to lead the way. When the heart tries to rule the head, the heart is trying to lead the way. It's not one or the other. It's a partnership, because
right. The
ego self,
yeah,
holds the ego holds the lessons, and the higher self holds the answers. So when actually they work together, I call that the divine intuitive truth. And so this is the head and the heart working in tandem together. This is the human self and the being self working together as one. And what actually happens is when we pay attention to our negativity and we give it a voice, and the energy starts to transmute and change in the body, as that transmutation and change takes place, the ego self starts to shrink. And because it starts to shrink, the energy of the negativity in the ego self starts to change back into the higher self, so that we can experience wholeness. We don't have to die to experience wholeness. We can experience it on the earth plane. And the more that we work with our negativity, the more that we work with our divine self, so the head and the heart working in tandem, the higher self and the ego self working together as one, then we can experience pure joy and bliss in life. And as we've said many times in this call, so many people have, and everybody on this call would have, who's listening in, would have experienced some form of miracle in their life, something magical that they have created. And when we have that level of awareness, when we've done it once, we can repeat it. And that's all you're doing, is you're listening and you're transmuting the energy. You're following your joy, or you're following your bliss. Or somebody said to me earlier, your heightened level of excitement. You know, it's just all these beautiful phrases, you know, that are coming out these days to identify this. And it's just a magical time right now.
That's absolutely the best description of the higher self and ego that I have heard in all my shows. So I want to thank you, Clayton John Anger, author of The Ego's Code, for sharing a finer look at negativity of mind and the power of our heart essence of spiritual oneness to acknowledge, recognize, and work past self-sabotaging thinking in order to maintain our best and most purposeful energy and force of creation and life. And to learn more about these ideas, go to Clayton John Anger, AINGER.com. In summarizing today's episode of Healing From Within, Clayton and I have explored the 8 stories most of us tell ourselves, which often limit our ability to explore the true breadth and scope of our magnificent inner soul life, while at the same time sharing a greater truth of our soul and ego-based realities, which are really one, and which enable us to merge our spiritual and physical life experiences for greater integration, awareness, and development of our innate talents. Clayton, in his own astute, intuitive observation, writes with clarity and simplicity the following: every person, every soul on our wonderful planet has an important purpose, an important story to share. Even if it helps just one person, they matter, because it's the ripple effects of their contribution. And it's for that reason I know you matter. But it is all well and good me saying that if you don't know that for yourself, or if you tell yourself the story that you don't like yourself yet. You have a story. A story that matters, a story that can make a difference for you and for others. Whether your story is one of happiness and joy or one of hardship, trauma, and devastation, it matters for you, the one you design. You are unique, from your physical appearance, the way you think and process information, the way you see, feel, hear, and interpret the world, your natural strengths, talents, your fingerprints, your DNA, right down to your very soul. Clayton and I would have you remember, in your uniqueness, from your physical appearance, the way you think and process information, the way you see, feel, hear, and interpret this world, down to your very soul, you must honor, love, and express yourself courageously, truthfully, and share this very special gift of life, soulfully, respectfully, and honorably, by simply being yourself. It is more than enough. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within and author of The Living Spirit, and I invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to explore the world of self, creation, evolution, and universal energy, all in the hope of ultimately creating your most ideal and joyous life experience. Shows may also be heard on webtalkradio.net and dreamvision7radio.com. Thank you for listening.